welcome to the latest episode of the Women's Golf Show with me, Jenny Faulkner, and my fabulous co-host, Beth Allen. Now, this is the show dedicated to the women's game in all its glorious forms, from the pros to those of us who just play for the fun of it. In this episode, we are going to be looking back at the latest major, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. We'll be exploring the vital role that caddies play in our game. And we're going to hear from the latest under 16 amateur champion, Grace Crawford. But first, let's introduce the, shall we call you the queen of our cryptic clue guessing game? The reluctant champion. Yes, it is, of course, Beth Allen. I mean, we're obviously talking about par three, par four, par five, the game that everyone is excited about.
Yes, and it's easy to win when you're playing by yourself, like the last episode.
It is much easier then. And it's really easy to win when you're asking the questions as well. So it's such a shame that I can't play. Since our last show, you've actually been really busy. You've been commentating on the Women's Amateur Championship. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. Exciting. It was. There was some surprise wins. There was a lot of interesting golf shots. And it was really good fun, like, and a great winner. So I will touch on that later. But how have you been? Wimbledon things, some golf things?
Yeah. So Wimbledon's on at the moment. I'm quite near Wimbledon, so I'm kind of like a Wimbledon fan. And also I played Walton Heath in my quest to play as many golf courses as possible. I've now ticked Walton Heath off. So that was good. And didn't embarrass myself. I'd just like to say I think my putting has improved.
It's because you're riding on that eagle.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that must be what it is. I think that is. I got a net eagle and I'm still going on about it. That is it. Anyway, it's exciting to have a chat today because obviously I want to play as much as possible because I've got the PGA BMW Championship coming up for which I need a caddy. And so I think it's
I think I can make myself available, but I don't know. Maybe our next guest, she might be interested too. Shall I introduce her?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, she grew up in Grimsby, but now lives in Orlando and currently plays on the Ladies European Tour. She's twice been a part of the GB&I team for the Curtis Cup, once on the winning team in 2012. She also won her first professional title her rookie year on the LET when she secured victory in the Deloitte Ladies Open in 2013. These days, she splits her time between playing for herself and caddying. Most recently, she helped Steph Kiriakou to a top 10 finish at the KPMG. It is Holly Clyburn. Welcome.
Yeah. Hello there.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Good, good. How about you?
Really good.
Pretty good, pretty good. Just chilling here in Florida. I'm ready to fly actually to England tonight.
Okay, is that, I was going to say, do you fly back to top up the accent, but it doesn't sound like it's remotely gone whatsoever.
No, I'm quite lucky that who I hang around with, I just don't lose my accent that much.
Yeah, stick with Yorkshire and it's all good.
Well, actually, I'm from Lincolnshire, but we'll
I'll let that slide. No, I was thinking, are you from Grimsby?
Well, yeah, Cleethorpes, yeah.
Oh, no, and I thought that was Yorkshire. That is my mistake. I'm totally sorry there.
Okay, no worries.
That's one point down to me so far already then. It's lovely to have you on here. How long have you been out in Orlando now?
Probably coming up to like 3 and a bit years now. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Full time, yeah.
Why is it you ended up there? Fan of Disney?
Actually, not that... massive fan of Disney. It just worked out that it was just great for golf. I have a lot of friends here. At the time, I just thought it was a perfect time to move here to just to improve my golf instead of traveling back and forth. I was in between LPGA, Symetra, LET, and I just thought I've got to bite the bullet right now. I've left it too long with a few injuries here and there. It was just, I couldn't do the flying back and forth anymore, and just thought I always wanted to live in America, whether it'd be anywhere in America, but Florida just ended up being the best place right now.
So many people are based in Florida because of the golf, and obviously, you know, for a lot of Brits, especially when you think of Florida, you don't really think of the golf. You think of, you know, the Keys and the beaches and the theme parks. Are there golf courses everywhere, or is there one area that's best for it?
Oh, it's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
I know, like, you can get your areas, like, obviously, Jupiter is a big hub for a mixture of PGA, LPGA golfers, but so is Florida, so is Jacksonville. So, like, Orlando in its base is pretty good because it's so central and it has a great airport for me. That's what I think.
Yeah, easy to travel in and out of Orlando, that is for sure.
So easy.
I mean, you have you do have to travel quite a bit. Where have you been this year?
Oh, gosh, I've been here, there and everywhere. I've been to Australia already. I've been to Thailand. I've done a lot of it on the west coast of America. I've already been to Europe. Just recently just come back from Washington, D.C. So I've got the air miles in already this year.
Yeah,
we're in July. We're in July.
Sounds good. Although it sounds like when you collect all these air miles, you never have time off to actually use them to go on a lovely holiday.
No, no. That's what I was actually just thinking that before we came on here. I was like, I'd love to like use my air miles for something like luxurious, but I've not really got the time at the moment.
So you mentioned you're in D.C. And you caddied for Steph.
I did.
Have you caddied for her before?
No, obviously just did the week prior. We had like a two week gig. And we learned a lot from each other the week before. We missed the cut by one, but it was a week where there was a lot going on, swing wise, mental wise, me getting used to her, how she reacts, what shots she likes to hit, what doesn't she like to hit. And I think the preparation from that week just led us going into KPMG a little bit more refreshed. Mm-hmm. Coming in on a Sunday morning, having all day Monday to be at the course, having a coach by her side. So I just felt like what we did the week prior just helped us so much in preparation for the Thursday start of KPMG.
Mm-hmm. How do you get paired up with Steph in the first place?
She actually called me. I actually do a little bit of a caddying for one of her good friends, Carrie Davidson, who I did Q series with, and they are both Australian and they live here in Orlando at the Golf Australia house. And it just happened to be that Carrie wasn't playing, and she asked Carrie if I could caddy, and she called me up, and I was actually in Italy at the time, and I just was like, yep, yeah, absolutely, let's go for it.
Sounds good. So is that just something that you just kind of team up, see how you get on, and take it from there?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. When I first came out, I didn't expect to be caddying where I am right now. I just helped a friend out for 2 weeks in the middle of COVID. We'd practiced through COVID together. We've hung out a lot together. I know a game inside and out, and she asked me to just step in for 2 weeks, and about 3 months later ended up being a full-time gig with her. And at the time I needed that little break from my golf. A few talks here and there, and you just get paired up whoever wants you and who you feel like you could message out to. It just goes from there, really.
Oh my goodness, I have so many questions on this. We're gonna talk about caddying and your caddying as well a little bit later, aren't we, Beth?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. There's lots more questions, Holly. Get ready.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Oh yeah, we saw that. Did you run into Alex Albon at the? Was that at Congressional?
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah. That took a good hour and probably a good hour to get that photo. Me and Sarah Kemp are huge Formula One fans. I can't remember when it was when I started watching the Netflix show. And I said, look, Sarah, you've got to watch this. It's unbelievable. It relates to what we do. I think you'll learn a lot, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she ends up being like absolutely hooked like me. And I think it was the Tuesday. He's on the back of the range because his girlfriend is Mooney Hee. And I said to Sarah, I was like, look who's behind the ropes. And she's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And actually it was Steph, Mooney and then Sarah, and it ended up quite working out quite well. And I said, I'm not asking, you can answer. And she's like, you're so confident. I said, I'm not in this aspect. Like, I get so nervous. Like, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I can't control myself right now. I said, I've got to go and do something. But in this time, you've got to go and ask Mooney for permission if we can get a photo. And we did, and he was really polite and really cool about it. And he'd just been to Canada, and he just had a week off before he was doing the British Grand Prix last week.
Wow, that's cool.
Love that you get excited about that so much. He's probably excited that you girls are like chatting to him.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And he was very like, he was away. He was like, it was a hot day, but like he was in the shade. He was keeping quite like low key. But he was really polite, a little chat, and then that was it. And he was away watching Mooney. But I think when you go outside what you normally do to go to another like sport or anything, I think it just gets your juices going, because then you understand how other people feel to golfers.
It does make sense. It really does. Well, we're going to chat a lot more in detail about all things caddying and about your game as well in a little bit. But since our last show, we've had the third major of the year on the LPGA Tour and lots more beside that. And Beth is amazing. You'll love this bit, Holly. Beth is going to give us the rundown on what we have missed. She's going to bring us up to speed.
Yes. As mentioned earlier, the third major of the year, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, concluded at Congressional Country Club on a drama-filled afternoon that saw Inji Chung emerge as champion despite a 3-over 75 on the final day. She secured her third major championship and a prize of $1.35 million. The week of the event, it was announced that the total prize fund for the event had doubled to $9 million, which was, I think, a surprise for everybody, right?
Very much so.
Yeah, which is amazing. Jess Baker won the Women's Amateur Championship at Hunt Stanton in Norfolk. She beat Sweden's Louise Rydqvist. She joins an impressive list of her past winners, including Leona Maguire, Georgia Hall, Katrina Matthew, and Anna Nordqvist. The win earned her place at some of the biggest tournaments around, including the AIG Women's Open and the US Women's Open next year. The two-time major champion and current world number one, Jin Young Ko, is set to headline the 2022 Women's Scottish Open at the end of this month at Dundonald Links. Fellow major champions Minji Lee, Jennifer Kupcho, and Inji Chung herself will be also part of the 144-woman field, and maybe me. Maya Stark birdied the last two holes to snatch victory from fellow Swede Jessica Carlsen at the German Masters. Carlsen finished tied for second alongside Germany's Leonie Harm. So Maya Stark just like dominating on the LET right now. She can't stop winning.
Absolutely
amazing.
She's doing really well. And can we just, before you gloss over what you just said, how's it going?
Yeah, okay. Like, I'm practicing more than I used to. So
put fishing aside and focusing on golf.
That's right. So the last like 10 days have been, you know, full-time golf pretty much. And I entered the Scottish Open. So yeah, I think I'll play, and I'm going down to London Friday, and I'm going to try and qualify for, you know, the final stage of AIG. So we'll see how we go. Be interesting.
Good. Good to hear.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Exciting. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Exciting month ahead, really, isn't it?
I know, lots
going on there from the KPMG Women's PGA Championship as well, which, as we heard, okay, was won by Inji Chung. Now, we have actually got a little bit of audio from her. She's clearly delighted when she spoke straight after her victory. Listen to this.
I made it. So first nine hole, I got a lot of pressure, so I couldn't, to be honest, I couldn't enjoy it a little. To play golf, I believe if I keep like stick to my game plan, and then I believe I have a chance in the back nine. So I tried to hang in there. Then I'm so happy to I made it. So my body is still shaking now. So.
Oh, she must have been. I mean, it sounds like she was delighted, but I know that when you're so happy, you're in shake mode. That's yeah. what she was. I mean, her tournament started really well on Thursday and she fired the course record, didn't she?
Yeah. 8 under was like, and Holly was there obviously, but that was what that was like 12 better than the stroke average that day, something crazy. That must have been like an unseeable score.
Yeah, like, I don't think anybody expected anything like that to happen on the first day.
No.
Everybody yeah, was in shock.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice little head start, I suppose.
Can I ask as well about, I mean, you mentioned there how the prize money was doubled to 9 million. Now, is this something that's going to start happening more and more? I mean, how important is it to get that level of prize money, especially in the women's game?
I really hope it happens more and more. But yeah, we saw like the US Open, obviously their purse has increased. So has the AIG. And then this just like during the week, KPMG suddenly says, all right, instead of 4.5, we're going to go 9. I mean, amazing.
So does this, right, asking golfers now, does this really make you focus even more than you would? Because you're like, oh, that prize money is pretty damn amazing.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think the determination just kicks up. I noticed in my player, we knew before the announcement a little bit, and she just was like, looked at me and was like, oh, I think I'm ready to grind tomorrow. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I'll see you at 7.
You would, wouldn't you, if the prize money's gone up a bit more? You know, Chun might have started well, but on Sunday she did lose her lead after shooting a 4 over. Was it on the first 9 holes as well? And she recovered then with 2 birdies on her back 9. But how did she assess what went wrong? Listen to this.
So I want to tell truth. So I think I couldn't control all my pressure. That's why I had a 4 bogeys. And then at the same time, you know, course is never easy here. Then Congressional Country Club is a hard golf course and we got a tough pin position. Mm-hmm. I just want to say sometimes my golf is not perfect. But so it was just happened from the front 9.
I mean, the pressure must be so much. We see it at the moment. Wimbledon's on all the time. And, you know, they might be about to get match point. They've got match point and they do a double fault. You know, it's something that must happen under that much pressure. Is that just normal practice for anyone who's got a big lead?
Yeah, I think so. And like Lexi was right on her tail and then sort of gave her a bit of a window toward the end and she took advantage of it. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's never... Especially after such a good round in the first day, like, you know, it's automatic extra pressure to sort of protect it. And then suddenly it was gone. And so I think, you know, it would be unnatural not to feel pressure, and being able to finish it off is a big challenge. But yeah, she had a great like 2-putt in the last hole to win. So I was nervous for her, though.
I bet it must be easy to be nervous because you're watching and you want her to do well as well. Holly, when you were watching Injee Chun, I mean, it was her first LPGA win since 2018. So would that have been playing on her mind, do you think, as well, when she was out on the course?
100% it was. I think she mentioned that in her post-round interview or a speech. She'd been waiting for this moment. And it probably was in the back of her mind, even though she was trying to control everything else. I think she wanted to get past that line. And she's had a couple of attempts this year where she's been in and amongst it, and had an opportunity and just fell back. So it was only time that she was just going to come in and take control from the start of the week and take that victory, I suppose.
Well, she did really well.
She did fantastic.
And she's got a great caddy too, Dino.
Dino, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around forever. But let's talk about your caddying more. We mentioned briefly earlier that you caddied for Steph, and she had a top 10. We kind of talked about how you got into that already, but has caddying changed your perspective on playing at all?
Yeah, it has. my playing is definitely taking a little bit of a backseat. When I started caddying, it was, like I said earlier, it was something that I needed to do. It was something I needed to take a break from my own game, even though I was still in and amongst golf. Did I have that reality check? Yeah, I did. Like, is it for me? Is it not? But I kept going back to it because I wanted to keep testing myself. I wanted to see if I could learn each week, whether it be in the same player or a different player. I can actually say that I do miss playing, but not full time. And that's where I've taken it a little bit different in this year, that I've been able to play a little bit when I can. But I also had a really bad injury at the back end of last summer, so that it's taken up to like the middle of this year, probably about 3 months ago, to really get over that injury, to trust my golf game. Now, that injury didn't really hurt me when I was caddying, and everybody laughs about it because obviously I'm carrying a big bag, what's heavy, blah, blah, blah. But the impact of actually golf, and you know, Beth, like it's not just, we're not just swinging a golf club, we're walking after it, we're swinging it again. And it's just the repetitiveness and the practice before, the practice after. And I think now I've got to the point where I do enjoy going out there every so often and playing, but I do love going out and helping somebody else, like what we did last week, achieve so much in a small space of time.
Do you know, I'm really interested in the role of a caddy, because whenever I have seen a caddy on a course, or if I've played a game and there's been a caddy, it's like they're almost like not only a mentor, a coach, they kind of know your game. It's you do everything. I mean, how would you describe it?
Like you just said, it literally is everything. Like I say that I'm a professional water girl. I tell them to eat, so I feel like the mother in that aspect. Definitely a mentor. Sometimes just like, oh, what am I doing in my swing? So you end up being like a little bit of the coach. Obviously your mate as well. So there's everything, because you try in the mate aspect, is that you're trying to take them away from nerves, the pressure, tell them to enjoy it. So there is everything you can think of that you've got to do. Plus you've got to get the correct yardage and pull the right club.
So the thing is that when you're caddying, now obviously you are a golfer, that is what you are first and foremost. Do you not ever think, this is a really nice course and I'd really like to be playing this shot, and oh, you've just completely fluffed it and thrown it over there and I would have got it on the green?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Like, there's been occasions where I'm like, in what thought process did that appear? But you know, you just gotta like take a deep breath yourself and just don't open your mouth and just go to the next shot and just think, well, if this was you, what you've done a ton of times in your time, just get on with it and just think, okay, like, you're making a fool out of yourself right now, but in the next hole we're probably not.
What about, okay, here's another scenario. What if you go, this is a 7-iron, and they're like, I don't think so. And then they take the whatever club and they mess it up. Do you go, I told you so? Do you say that?
Not quite in those words. I try and not in those words. It would be more of, did you not fully commit? And it'd be like, yeah, I didn't fully commit. I said, well, you need to realise that I cannot be a mind reader, and you need to step away from the shot and talk to me again. We've got that time that we can do that, so take advantage of it. And the next time when it does appear, it ends up being a little bit better process.
Yeah. I guess as well, having played at such a high level yourself really gives you this amazing qualification to do this job brilliantly too.
Yeah, sometimes. I think, I don't know what the qualification is. It just ends up being, I suppose, good humour, good to be around, know what shot to hit at the right time, what to do at that right time, tell them to come back at, like, you know how they're walking, just how they're walking is an instant like feedback for you, just to go, what, how is this shot going to pull off? Or, you know, like maybe we'd take half a club back because you are pretty fired up right now and this could go like an extra 10 and you could make me look like an idiot. So let
Do that.
Yes, don't do that. So yeah, there's, it's really funny. I suppose it's who you gel with as well. Like there's a lot of people who you could say hello to and Beth probably understand that, you could see, have lunch with them, but you might not actually like gel with them out on the golf course. And it's not just that 4 hours you're spending with them, because golf's not 4 hours anymore. It's like 4.5 hours. And like, and it's the hour before and it's the hour after. Like you've got to be able to hang around and not get sick of each other and have good chats and good company. And you might not be talking all that time. And the players I've worked for, they know that I don't chat a lot on the golf course, because I know as a player myself, sometimes that's not what you want. You just want that peace and quiet sometimes on your own. Now, there is occasions where you just check in with them and obviously have a chat with them and boost their up and have a laugh and a joke and maybe sing along to something as a jukebox here and there. But most of the time, you've got to be able to hang around with each other.
Yeah. And also, I guess from a player's point of view, I mean, Beth, you know this because, you know, you've had caddies that have been pros themselves as well. Does that give you this kind of level of trust because you think, right, they actually fully know what they're talking about here?
Yeah, of course, like Sophie Gustafson was my caddy for over 2 years. And, you know, she was a very, very successful player, runner up at AIG twice, like multiple winner on the LPGA and LET. So actually filled me with confidence knowing that she wanted to be there working for me because she didn't need to be. And she, you know, she constantly told me that she had faith in me and she wanted to be the one who got me over the line. She had played lots of golf with me before. She was convinced that she could help me do that. And inevitably she did. And, you know, I credit her with lots of my success and I'm so pleased. You know, I learned a lot from her and I probably never would have, I don't know if I ever would have won without her. So yeah, it's a big deal. A good caddy is essential. And, you know, for me, for some reason I never found a caddy, like a tour caddy, you call, like that really worked for me. I don't think that could happen in the future, but yeah, for some reason none of them could really get me over the line. Maybe it's because I had more respect for Sophie because she had done so much, and that made me trust her, as you say. So
I bet there aren't many people like Sophie and Holly. I mean, are there many ex-pros that are caddying?
I don't know, Holly would know.
There's not that many. No, there isn't. Now you've put me on the line to think about.
Not many females either, huh?
We're getting more. There's probably about, I think we're up to like maybe between, I know this is a really odd number, maybe we're up to about 11 girl caddies now.
Okay, that's a lot more than there was 15 years ago when I started, though. I think it was just Audrey.
Yeah. Audrey's still there, still going. Missy, obviously. Michelle, Sarah. Yeah, there's not ex-player. Like, obviously, Michelle was an ex-player, but other than that, like now, just recently, ex-players, not many. There's not many, I don't think.
Sounds like caddies are all really well known.
Well, they are, because we travel around like a circus every week, and so we know these people. Like a lot of my friends that I continue to stay in touch with from the tour are caddies, and you know, I don't think I look at anybody any differently, a caddy or a player. We're still doing the same stuff week in and week out, and we're spending lots of time together. So yeah, I think, you know, they're lifelong friends, just like players. So yeah, Holly and I could talk for ages about various caddies and what people are up to and stuff like that, just because that's like the nature of the game.
Yeah, sure.
It is. It is. And you end up hanging around a lot in different groups each week.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry to pry. I'm just fascinated to know. Is caddying kind of like, can you make a decent living out of caddying? How does it kind of work in terms of economics?
Yeah, you can. I've been fortunate to, earn a decent living through it. It all depends on the event.
Yeah, last week would have been handy.
Yeah, I know you want those competitions.
yeah, you need those type of paydays to really make a difference and see a difference in the caddy in a caddy wage, basically.
What did Steph make for top 10?
About 150 ish, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, that's good. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it was good because we actually finished the round, went upstairs to eat, and we was tied 13th. And then, like, 20 minutes later, it was, like, tied 11th. And I'm like, nice one. Yes. Can we get a top 10? Yep. Oh, we're tied 9th. I'm like, sweet. And then Hannah Green holds a put on 18, and I'm like, no! But at the same time, I was obviously very happy for Hannah because she had a birdie put. And she had a mixture of a Sunday. She was in contention for it. So, like, I suppose, like, it all worked out
so then,
well in the end.
So then here's a dilemma, I guess. If you were asked to caddy for someone who's got a really good chance of winning, or you could play yourself, what do you do?
Jenny, hard hitter.
Straight in the... Right now, as being in very present, probably the caddying part of it.
Right. Yeah. But you could go back out, practice, and then you could go and kind of try and win that competition yourself.
I can still probably give myself a good amount of time to practice hard, and probably gear up for that and get my coaches on board a little bit more than what they are right now, and probably I've give myself a good attempt at it, but that would be a lot of work right now, and I feel being so present with the question, probably the caddying would be just the way to go right now.
So are you flying to the UK to continue caddying for Steph, or are you doing something else?
No, I'm flying to the UK because I'm seeing my family this week, and then actually going to play in Holland the following week on
LNT. Yeah, Big Green Egg.
Yeah, Green Egg.
It's my favourite name of a tournament.
It's funny.
But Steph, is she defending?
She is, but she's not actually. She's not playing.
Right.
No, she's gone back to Australia for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
It worked out quite well that she could go back before the European swim.
Okay, so are you going to do the Scottish for her?
I'm not, no. She's got a friend from Australia coming over, a young kid, I think, helping her out for the next few events. I've got August off. Quite nice. I'm not, as much as it would be great to go and work Evian, Scottish, British, right now, after the 6 weeks I've had, I'm quite happy to just relax.
All right, we'll talk later.
Probably work on my game a little bit more. But yeah, if I got a phone call up in the next few weeks, obviously I would jump at it. But right now, there's nothing in the schedule.
Look at Beth actually dialing your number as we speak. Okay, now, so listen, this week as part of our Iona Meet series, we've also been hearing from a 15-year-old Scottish golfer, Grace Crawford. And just a few weeks ago, Grace won the R&A Girls Under 16 Amateur Championship at Enville. And that result means that she's gained an exemption into the Girls Amateur Championship at Carnoustie in August. Now, she's on a golf scholarship at the Albany Academy in the Bahamas, and she's been telling Iona Stephen how she first got into the game.
I think I must have been like two or three when I first picked up a club, so the majority of my life, yeah. I mean, my brother and sister and my dad all played and I was kind of dragged out with them, and then I kind of just started to love it. I played a lot of sports growing up, like here and there, but you know, golf always came out as what I wanted to do. I've always loved it, and you know, even if the scores weren't there, I was still so passionate about it that I wanted to do it full time. Head to college after I'm done high school, and then hopefully on the LPGA, playing some good golf. That would be nice, yeah. So I'm down at Albany in the Bahamas, which is a great setup, yeah, at the Albany Academy. My coach, he's unreal. Just the facilities and the time I have there is brilliant. I was offered a full scholarship. It's such a great place that I was like, of course, yeah. The weather as well, it makes a huge difference. My memories from Enville are definitely all fun. I love that tournament. It's great to see so many like young girls coming up, and it was just a really nice one to win. It was my last year there, so no, it was really special. I've definitely been working so hard. I think it's nice to see all the hard work pay off. But yeah, no, hopefully here's to more. There's people I played golf with when I must have been seven, and I'm still close to them now. I mean, Rasheen, who I played with today, I've known her since I've been tiny, so no, definitely make lifelong friends in this sport. So definitely go through the stages of golf together. So it's nice to see people, you know, advancing, going off to college. You know, it's really cool. It's great competition out here. The best from all over the world. The top set of amateurs have got to be doing very well on the pro circuit. So I wouldn't say I get intimidated by older people. All I can control is my shots and my swing, and kind of just try put together the best round I can do. And see where that like puts me at the end. The Women's Open this year is actually just around the corner from where I live. It's an unreal thing to think about the fact that I'm even in the competition that, you know, has the pass for that. So yeah, it's very special. And those were definitely, I mean, growing up, that's like all I wanted to do, you know? I'd say my tips for girls wanting to get involved in golf, definitely just go out there. Don't be afraid of anything. Just go and give it a shot. Ugh, there's always golf near around, I'm guessing, close enough to people, you know, just go out there, have some fun, find some friends who do it as well. And even the driving range, you know, go hit a few balls, go putting. There's always the nine hole par three courses. That's where I learned to play golf, and that's where it all started. So just go give it a smash around there. After the pandemic as well, so many people took it up, which is amazing. And yeah, it's great to see it really progressing. You know, it's really getting a lot bigger.
Is only 15.
I know, she's very well spoken, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should keep an eye on tournaments like the Under 16 Amateur Championship just to kind of see all these stars of the future.
Yeah, for sure. And Grace she's been a name that I've kind of been familiar with for a long time because she's from East Lothian, not far from where I live, and she's progressed so much since she's gone to the Academy in Albany. So it'll be interesting to follow her career. She's actually at Conway right now because it's the Europeans and she's representing Scotland on the women's team at only 15 years old. So pretty good. So yes, we will keep our eye on her.
Yeah, I guess one of the titles that she might have her eye on after the Under 16 Amateur is the Women's Amateur. That might be quite a good one. That was won by Jess Baker a couple of weeks ago. You were there voicing it from the glamorous booth, watching yes. And commentating on all the action. How did she do?
Grace did all right, actually. She got through to the match play, and I think she won her first match, but then eventually got beat. But yes, of course, it was Jess Baker that won. The 19-year-old achieved a 4-3 success against Sweden's Louise Rydqvist to come out on top in a field of 144 players from 24 different countries. It bettered her run to the quarterfinals last year, and she could celebrate the win quickly with her family as her dad was her caddy and her dog Gunner was spectating. She took down a couple of favorites along the way, like Italy's Emily Petrinini and Scotland's Hannah Darling. The result earns her places in the AIG Women's Open, US Women's Open, the Mundy Evian Championship, and by tradition, an invitation to the Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship. Jess's putting was unbelievable and her demeanor was really, really great. She's a really smiley character and she drove it beautifully as well. She had no expectation of winning the event, really. So it was lovely to see all the emotions flowing out of her at the very end. And she's a very well-deserved champion.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, Holly, during your amateur career, how important were events like the Women's Amateur and kind of preparing you for life on the pro tour?
Oh, yeah, they were big. I always felt like the British Amateur was the one to always try and do well in or trying to, obviously, to win. Unfortunately, I never really had great success in the actual match play amateur. But I loved it. I did love it. And it did, I think it did. It gave you a bit of a spark and a definitely preparation for going onto the pro ranks. Because obviously, like Beth mentioned, how many exemptions she gets into these all these majors, that she's going to get earn so much experience each every event. So when she comes out onto any tour, she's kind of ahead of everybody else. So I suppose, like, Those events were a big part of my career. I love them. I always felt there was a little bit more added pressure in the British AMs and stuff like that, because you wanted to perform, you wanted to see what you could do, and you also wanted to get into the GB and I squad. You wanted to get into the England squads. Like, it was like you wanted to prove to everybody else that you earn your spot to be in every squad possible. I think they're just fantastic events anyway.
Are you ready to be challenged now? Are you ready for this?
I'm pretty nervous, if I'm honest. Well,
you should be. It's a terrifying experience. This is it. This is it. It's time for par three, par four, par five. This is the Women's Golf Show's cryptic clue guessing game. It's like a tongue twister saying that. I have some famous women in golf just written down in front of me, and I've got three clues to reveal their identities. You've just got to figure out who they are. You can choose whether you want par three, par four, par five. Now, par five is the easiest option because you get five words in your clue.
Oh.
And it's worth 1 point. Par four only has four words in the clue, but it's worth 2 points. Par three, hardest. You get three words, but you do get 3 points, okay? You call your par. So if you risk going for the hardest clue, you just got to be, it's a risk, but you could get it, or you could play it safe. Players can steal your clue. So if you don't get the answer right, it then passes on, okay? So if Beth gets par three wrong, you could choose par four, par five and steal the points. So I have a clue. Everyone that's in this one today, they've all won the British Amateur.
Oh.
I mean, that makes it really easy now, doesn't it?
You really always easy. Say that.
Yeah, but does it?
No.
It
does it. Does for me. So I've got the answers.
You've got the list.
All right, Holly, you can go first since you're our lovely guest. I'm going to say to you par three, par four or par five. Which would you like?
I'm going to go in the middle. I'm going to go in par four.
Okay, here we go. Biochemistry student from Germany.
Is that it? Do I get any more clues?
That's your clue. No, that's it. It's your four-word clue.
Oh, that's my four-word clue. Okay. Well, there's two people I could really think about. Is it Leona Hahn?
Oh, my God. Look at this. You're on fire. You've only just started. Nice. Yep, she grew up in Stuttgart before going on to study biochemistry at the University of Houston. And she was the first golfer from Germany to win the amateur in 2018.
Wow. She seems like a biochemistry major, actually.
There we go.
Okay.
2 points. 2 points to you, Beth. Okay. Here we go. Par three, par four, par five.
I'm going to go four.
Okay. Also European amateur winner.
Oh. Anna Nordqvist?
No.
Oh.
So you can steal here, Holly. Would you like a par three or a par five?
Ooh. Go for it, par three. Yeah.
FC Copenhagen fan.
Oh.
Emily Pedersen.
You are so good at that. If I would have guessed part three, I would have got it.
Well, you didn't, did you? So there we go.
Sorry.
She's a big fan of SCD Copenhagen, which is where she grew up, and she won the European Amateur Championship before she won the amateur. There we go. Okay, so no points now. Holly, you have 5 points. Beth is still to score. Okay, so this is another clue. Holly, par three, par four, or par five?
Par four.
Okay. Olympic debut in Rio.
Carla Segunda? No.
Sadly not that answer. Beth, you can come in and steal.
I'll go par three. I have to, I think.
Third at Pinehurst.
Wait, and then what was the first one was?
Olympic debut.
Oh,
Rio.
Yeah, Rio. Okay, and third. I don't know. I'll say Georgia Hall.
Oh, no.
I know. I didn't know.
It was actually Steph Meadow.
Oh.
Steph, she was third in the 2014 US Open, yes, Women's was. Open at Pinehurst, behind Michelle Wee and Stacey Lewis. And she was part of the Ireland team at the 2016 Olympics in Rio with Leona Maguire. There we go. She also represented Ireland at Tokyo 2020.
Yeah.
So there we go. One more. This is it, Beth.
Okay.
Par three, par four, or par five?
I can't win, so I have to go par three.
Okay, Pamplona to Arizona.
Carlotta Segunda.
Yeah, there you go. She was born in Pamplona in Spain and attended college at Arizona, and she won the amateur in 2006. So our final scores, Beth has 3 points. Holly has 5. Congratulations, yay. Holly.
Well you done.
You have one. Beth's really good when she's playing on her own, we discovered last week.
Yeah, I know. The match play's hard for me, but the stroke play's pretty good.
Well done to you both for that. See, it's not that bad, is it? It's actually stressful for no reason.
She said it was fun.
Yeah, I know. I know. We're gonna take that and we're going to cut it and edit it and use it as a promo. Okay. Sadly, that is all we have time for today. So listen, if you, wherever you are listening to this, remember to subscribe to the Women's Golf Show, and you can always get in touch using the hashtag TWGS. Beth, you are stepping aside for Ali, because she's going to return to the podcast in a couple of weeks' time to look ahead at the Evian Championship. You're going to be focusing on qualifying from your field. Is that right?
Golf in general, you know, the Scottish Open, Muirfield, and just seeing how I go. Maybe I'll play more, but those are the two on my mind currently, and I need all of the attention. So yes, on to Ali. Thank you. Thanks. I hope par three, par four, par five.
thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, I've got something to do actually.
Harsh.
Thank you so much, and thank you for listening.